You know, we're in really interesting portions and interesting times for the children of Israel. And this is an amazing portion, like pretty much they all are, but there's a lot going on in the Torah portion. We come, as we go through, that the Exodus happened, all these amazing, terrible, miraculous plagues were going on. The children of Israel come out. And then we come to this episode, and what I want to focus on, our text today is going to be Exodus 14. If you want to turn to Exodus chapter 14 and just get ready there, we come to this wonderful story, amazing story, the parting of the Red Sea. The children of Israel had just left Egypt, and all of this amazing stuff had finally happened, and they were finally free. After all those years of crying out to God, after all those years of slavery, freedom, and they were making their way out. And they went out with pomp and circumstance. They went out with treasures. They went out with everybody just like excited. Mixed multitude went out. And we tend to think, you know, wow, okay, this is great. The sitcom has wrapped up. It's happily ever after. Everything's going to be rainbows, and everything's going to be great for the children of Israel. They're just going to go right into that promised land and claim what is theirs, just like God prophesied to Abraham and to Jacob all those years ago, right? Well, that's not what happens. There is no happily ever after, at least not yet in this. We come to this crazy story because right after the freedom, right after they go out and we think everything is just fine, everything's going to work out happily ever after, here comes Pharaoh after them again. Here comes the mighty Egyptian army chasing them, closing in on them, a big and terrible and menacing army. Now, they had just left all that pain and all those problems and all that slavery, and then this. It's like, oh, what now, you know? But the story, good came out of this story. We obviously know what happens. The sea parts miraculously. Israel walks across on dry ground miraculously, and just as miraculously, the sea rescends, the Egyptians drown, never to be seen or heard of again by Israel. So it is an amazing story, but leading up to it, it was pretty scary for Israel. It was pretty intense, especially after everything they had gone through. They were like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be having our happily ever after. What's going on? What is happening here? Well, just like this story, our lives are like that. We think after we accept the Lord, after there's some breakthroughs in our lives, after there's some good things that are happening, that it's going to be happily ever after. All our problems are going to just go away, right? We think that. We hope that. But that's not what happens. And just as we're delivered from sin and we go out, we come to faith in God, it's wonderful, it's awesome, we're on our journey, we're on our way, just like the children of Israel, but there isn't this magic utopia right there. That comes later. And we have to know and understand our Bible. Things repeat themselves, and if it's happening here, it's going to happen again and again and again. And we can't be thinking, well, it's just going to be magical utopia, it's just going to be happily ever after in this life. That comes later. The end of the book tells us what happens at the end. We're not there yet. And so before that happens, we have to deal with things like Pharaoh's army chasing us, so to speak, and a magical experience in the Red Sea where we don't know what's going to happen and God miraculously parts it. And these things are going on, and there's things that we can learn in this Torah portion. This Torah portion teaches us in our lives right now. It's not going to be happily ever after, but we need to have faith. It teaches us about faith, the story. The story teaches us about breakthrough that can happen here and now in our lives. And it teaches us ultimately that God is the one that should get the glory. Those are the lessons, I think, from the Red Sea experience. So turn with me. Let's open up to Exodus chapter 14. We're going to start with verse 5. And as I said, our text today is going to be chapter 14, this story of the parting of the Red Sea. We begin with verses 5 through 7. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, The mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed toward the people, and they said, "What is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Verse 6, so he made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. So this isn't just one little chariot going after them. This is the horde of Egypt's armies closing in on Israel. Israel, when you think about it, compared to this mass army of the Egyptians, was not any match for them in the physical. We have to understand, they didn't have armor. They didn't have chariots. They didn't have real weapons of warfare. They were coming out with their livestock and their women and their children. They were coming out with all the goods that they had collected over 430 years and all the plundering that they did of the Egyptians. They were not ready for war. And Egypt was absolutely devastated after the 10 plagues. The country was in ruins. The people were exhausted. Plague after plague was happening. But, and this is like we say, we read these verses and say, how could Pharaoh change his mind like that? How could he do that? Well, have you ever heard the phrase, desperate times call for desperate measures and desperate actions? Even after all that, Pharaoh was afraid of losing his free labor. He was afraid, who's going to build my cities? Who's going to build my empire for me? I need the Israelites to serve me. So he's like, wait a minute, I've got to go after them. So he chased after Israel, and he was almost ready to overtake them. And this is what happens next. Let's turn down to verses 10 through 12. Because Israel is coming out, they're all victorious, they're thinking, man, this is great. And then all of a sudden they look back, and they see this massive army coming towards them. And this is what they said, verses 10 through 12. Verse 10, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Is this not what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. My, how things change really quickly, right? They were all like, yeah, get them, let's go, you know. And then just a little while later, it was like, why did you do this to us, Moses? Why did you do this to us, God? Things flipped very easily. They were looking at their circumstances. And unfortunately, this is a common theme throughout the wilderness experience with our people. Israel would get into trouble. Israel would look at the natural. Israel would look at their physical circumstances, and they would long for Egypt, right? It's funny how we only remember the good stuff, right? About the good old days. As that wise Jewish sage Billy Joel once said, the good old days weren't always so good. Tomorrow's not as bad as it seems, right? The good old days weren't always so good for them. But this is what Israel did time after time. And look, Israel is no different than us. We tend to fear like this. We tend to get scared when the tide shifts, when the physical looks menacing to us. We tend to look at the good old days. Oh, it was so much better before. And we forget all the problems about the good old days. What happened? They got mad at Moses. They got angry at God. It's easy to fear when things look bad in our lives. It's easy to worry and stress when we look at the circumstances around us. And listen, it is easy to get depressed when we look outside at the world today, when we turn on the news, when we see wrong being called right, and right being called wrong. We all know that. I mean, we see all these things, we get upset, and many of us can get fearful about it. And point number one this morning with the message, point number one is, fear comes by looking at the natural. The consequence and the result of fearing always is, or when we look at the natural, is fear. We fear. And when you fear, you forget all the promises of God. You forget all the goodness of God. You forget the miraculous things that he just did for you just a little while ago. But in this world, It's not happily ever after, remember? There's always going to be an army, an illness, a mountain. It's about how we handle it. It's about how we think of it, how we deal with it. It's still going to occur. We have a choice for how we're going to react and handle it. Turn with me to Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm 27 was a psalm by King David. He wrote many of the songs, roughly half of the psalms. And he says this in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, the verse doesn't say, life is good. I have no problems anymore because I know the Lord. And it's going to be all rainbows and happily ever after. No, it says, I'm not going to let fear have control. I'm not going to give in to fear when the problems come. Not if the problems come, when the problems come. So it's the same problems, but a different perspective. You see, we can have two different ways of looking at the same problems in our lives. King David wrote those words inspired by the Lord. And as we're studying the Red Sea experience, right, the parting of the Red Sea today, there was a parallel story that I thought about and I'm referencing here that I really thought works well with what we're talking about. And that parallel story concerns David before he was king. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now there's this story of a giant, and the giant's name was, of course, Goliath. And Goliath, at that time, he was a Philistine. He was part of the Philistine army. And he was threatening the army of Israel. And in 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, it says this. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits doesn't sound like much, right? A span doesn't sound like much. When you translate this, talk about fear. When you translate 6 cubits and a span into our measurement system, Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. He was a pretty tall guy. And the verses go on to explain all the ways in which this giant was menacing. This giant was foreboding. And the response of the army of Israel at the time was this, 1 Samuel 17, verse 11. When Saul, who was the king at the time, first king of Israel, when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear struck the army. Remember, you remember the story. Fear, everybody, nobody wanted to go up against this champion. Nobody wanted to go up against Goliath because he was quite menacing. And it's easy to fear when we look at the physical. It's easy to fear when there's a giant in front of us in our lives. And the metaphor could be anything, right? The metaphor of the Goliath, even though it was a real story and he was really there, in our lives, you and I have Goliaths in front of us from time to time. And it is fearful. We can be very fearful. It's easy to let fear reign when we look at the physical. But what does the Bible tell us about fear? Many things, but one scripture in particular I found, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, as you can imagine, the Bible gives us a different way to look at our problems that are in front of us. 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." What happens when you fear? You lose that self-control. You start shaking. You may even have a panic attack. It is all-consuming. But God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Fear comes by looking at the physical, but God says there's a better way for you and I. Now let's continue. Let's go back to our text today, Exodus 14. And we're going to go to Exodus 14, verse 13. So Israel was terrified. We can understand why they were terrified. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say, oh, I would never behave like that. I mean, in the natural, it's easy to behave like that. Let's remember where they came from. Years of slavery. They had major PTSD from being enslaved and treated horribly for a long time. But Exodus 14, 13 and 14. Here's what Moses says to the people. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Man, I love those verses. That's like some of my favorite verses there. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. There are so many scriptures that talk to us about this. This is, in a word, faith. This is faith. Faith, the definition of faith, is believing without seeing. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The whole chapter of Hebrews 11 is a great chapter to build your faith. If you ever want to build your faith one day, go to Hebrews 11 and read. Read about the characters in the Bible and the faith that was displayed in the midst of Goliaths in front of them. In our lives, in the midst of Goliaths, we need to read these words in this chapter, and we need to have faith. But the definition, Hebrews 11, 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's easy to believe something when we can see it. Very easy to believe. It's right there, right? It's tangible. It happened. We can believe in it. That doesn't require any faith. The Israelites were being told to have faith when they couldn't see the deliverance, before the deliverance happened. You and I are called to a life of faith before the deliverance happens. This is the order of how this works. I mean, I wish it was different, but this is how it is. And we have to live within these parameters, right? This is how the world works. This is how the Lord operates. It's about faith. Now, the Israelites were told to have faith. And what happened in the story? Let's go to the story. Exodus 14. I'm going to be reading a few verses for the next couple of minutes in Exodus 14. We're going to start with verses 21 and 22. Let's finish the story here. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Have you ever gone to an aquarium before? And you go down and you come to the wall, and it's like this glass wall with water on the other side, and then there's some type of creature there, usually kind of menacing, and of course the kids are all like this, right? And I'm just usually back here like, yeah, they can, that wall might burst, I'm a kind of a worrywart sometimes. That's how it was. They were like, fish were like swimming around them. It's a miraculous thing was going on. They walked right through on dry ground. And then go a few verses down to verse 26 of Exodus 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." Then let's continue with verses 28 and 29. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, all of them, all of the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. What an amazing thing. Moses told them to have faith, and God will fight for you, and God will deliver you. Faith in God, trusting in God, and allowing God to work. Getting out of the way of God, I'll say it like that. Getting out of the way of God and allowing God to work produces something. When we have faith, there's something that happens, and that something is called breakthrough. Breakthrough, that's what occurred. That's point number two this morning. Faith in God, as opposed to fear, faith in God produces breakthrough in our lives. There's a rabbinical story of when the Red Sea parted. When exactly did it happen? And the story goes like this. The leader of the tribe of Judah at the time, his name was Nashan ben Aminadab. He was the leader of the tribe of Judah, and he was the first one to go in. So says this rabbinical story. And he goes in towards the Red Sea, and everybody kind of follows him, but he goes in first. And the story goes that he walks into the water until the water was up to his neck, and then the sea split. Now, that is faith. If you want to have a definition of what faith is, that's faith. I don't even know if he could swim or not, who knows. But he goes in, and it's up to his neck, and then the water starts parting. That's faith. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. Let's go back to that David and Goliath story. When David went up against Goliath, that was faith. 1 Samuel 17, 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Can you imagine little David? And David was not particularly tall, and he's facing off with this giant, 9 feet, 9 inches, Goliath. He comes out bold, standing and having faith in the Lord. And what happens? Few verses later, 1 Samuel 17, 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine. We know what happens. He takes the stone in the sling. The stone goes right between the eyes of Goliath and his forehead, and he falls down dead. So David, verse 50, prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Wow. What a story. Awesome. When we look at Yeshua's miracles in the Brit Chadashah that he performed during his earthly ministry, all of his miracles were tied to faith in one way or another. Constantly he's saying, "Oh, ye of little faith," or "if you have faith," or "do you have faith?" And remember the centurion, I don't have it referenced here, the not Jewish, the centurion that comes in and says, or the soldier that comes in and says, you know, "If you just say the word, my servant will be healed." Servant wasn't even there. He just said the word, and at that moment, that faith healed the servant. So faith produces breakthrough. Faith can produce miracles. Over and over and over, we see Yeshua doing this with the miracles that he's performing. We see it happening in scripture and stories. Now, this is not a just have faith and everything, all these miracles will happen around you kind of message. So don't go be thinking that. And this is not a name it and claim it message. I'm not talking about that when I'm talking about breakthrough. Because the breakthrough in our lives, now listen, God can do miracles. God can raise people from the dead, and he does that. And usually the reason he doesn't do it a lot is because there's not a whole lot of faith. We know, I'll just say this, you know, we always hear these stories out of places like China where believers are persecuted, where the ecclesia, the church, is underground. And what's going on? We hear about miracles happening because there's a lot of faith. You know, historically, persecution fuels the body and builds the body in a lot of ways. And faith is fueling that. Faith is fueling that breakthrough. Over and over, these things happen. In our lives today, miracles and breakthrough can happen. And it can happen in the form of the peace in our hearts, a changed heart before the Lord, joy where there was just pain and sorrow and suffering and brokenness, reconciliation with family or friends that seemed impossible, even amazing solutions to impossible problems. Have you ever in your faith life had something miraculous that God did? I mean, I have. You don't have to raise your hand, but there have been times when I've just prayed and prayed and prayed, just knowing in the natural it wouldn't happen. But God in the supernatural could do it, and it happened. Miracles can happen. Breakthrough can happen when we put our faith in the Holy One of Israel. Testimonies will happen when we do that. Seas will part in our lives, so to speak, spiritually. But that faith is the ingredient to produce those breakthroughs in our life. Let's go back to Exodus 14 now. We've got one more point to make. So Israel put away the fear, and they had faith, and there was breakthrough, right? The breakthrough was the parting, the going through, the saving of Israel, and the drowning of the Egyptians. And we have to remember, what we should always remember, it's not about, the breakthroughs are not about for us, the miracles are not for us, although they're great, they're wonderful in our lives, but it's not about us and it's not about Israel, it's about God. We always have to remember that. Everything God is doing is about God. Now, Exodus 14, let me illustrate that with our passage today of the Red Sea. Exodus 14, 17 and 18. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them into the sea. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all of his host, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. So breakthrough is awesome in our lives, but it should always point us to and give the glory to God. That's the third point. Breakthrough in our lives gives glory to God, or it should give glory to God. The result always of breakthrough, the result always of blessings, the result always of miracles should be to give God the glory every single time. Ibn Ezra, one of the greatest medieval Jewish biblical commentators, said this when we're talking about the story of the parting of the Red Sea. He says, God could have saved the Jews without having this miraculous Red Sea parting story. He could have just, you know, after that 10th plague, it could have been like Pharaoh was devastated, and that would have been miraculous in and of itself. Why did God have to do this? And he says, Ibn Ezra says, he didn't have to save the Jews with doing this miraculous Red Sea parting story, but, Ibn Ezra says, it would happen so that God was glorified. It happened so that God could get the glory. Because of the miracle, and I would say because of the 10 plagues, because of all the breakthroughs that happened with the children of Israel, God got the glory. That is demonstrated because we know through certain passages in the Torah, as we go forward in the Torah, that the fame of the Lord spread because of all those miraculous things to all the neighboring nations. And as Israel was passing by, they were afraid of Israel, not because of Israel. Because remember, they didn't have weapons and chariots, and they weren't Goliath-like, but they had the Lord. And the fear of the Lord and the glory of the Lord shone out. The nations around them saw it based on the miracles and the breakthrough that happened. Now, let's go back to our David and Goliath story one more time to see this illustrated as well with David. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to go to 46 and 47. What does David say when he goes up against Goliath? He has faith. He talks to Goliath. You know, he kind of gives it to Goliath, and then he kills Goliath. And as he's facing this mighty giant, this is what David says, verses 46 and 47. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. So what is David doing? He is giving God the glory. He knows the recipe. He knows the formula. He knows how this should work. Ultimately, everything David accomplishes is for the glory of God. And David knows this even at an early age. He is not doing it for his glory. He's doing it so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Do we do everything in our lives as believers with the hope, with the prayer, so that all the earth could know that there is a God in Israel, so that God is miraculous? You know, fear robs God of the glory that he deserves. Fear robs you and I from the peace that we can have in God through Yeshua. So fear, in both cases, is pretty bad, right? So we need to put away the fear. And how do we put away the fear? We fill it with something else. We fill it with faith. We don't have a life free from problems. We don't have a happily ever after. That would be wonderful. That would be great. And that's coming down the line. Don't know when, but it's coming down the line. But until then, we need to remember that there are going to be giants in front of us. We need to remember that there's going to be Egyptians chasing us. We need to remember that there's going to be waters in front of us. And we need to remember that faith fuels the breakthroughs, and the breakthroughs should give glory to God. That is the biblical formula. We've demonstrated it in the story of the parting of the Red Sea. We've demonstrated it in the story of David and Goliath. And we need to demonstrate it in the example of our lives. I mean, look, we're not going to face 9-foot giants. I hope you don't have to face a 9-foot giant in your life. But you are going to face those type of Goliaths, so to speak, in the spiritual. You may face issues at work. You may face issues with finances. You may face issues in your personal life in some way. I don't know. There are always going to be, in this life, the problems, the chariots, the Goliaths. The question is, how are we going to handle it? How are we going to react to it? So if you know it's going to happen, how then should we live our life? We should live our life then full of faith, practicing that, so that there can be breakthroughs in our lives so that God can get the glory. So that is the formula I think God wants us to know today, and that is truly the end-all, be-all, the end result, is so that our living God, our Savior, and our shield can get the glory. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, we read about you, we read about your character, we read about your word, we read about, honestly, if there's any formulas, these are the kind of formulas we read about, Lord. And it's simple, but yet, Lord, sometimes it's so tough. It's so tough when the Goliaths look really scary. It's so tough when the chariots seem to be right on top of us. And it is so tough when we have to step out into the water in faith. But God, you'll part those seas, you'll drown those Egyptians, you will kill those Goliaths, and Lord, you will have victory, and it's to give you the glory. We thank you, God, for that. We want to give you the glory. Lord, we have broken lives. We're all sinners, just as King David was, just as the Israelites were. We're sinners too, Lord God. But we thank you for revealing your deliverance by the blood of the Lamb, Yeshua, our Messiah. We thank you because there is a better way than fear, and that's faith in you through Yeshua, through accepting that sacrifice that he did for us on the cross, dying for our sins so that we can be redeemed and live a life following after you. So Lord, as followers of Yeshua, let us walk in faith today. As followers of Yeshua, let us not take credit for the miracles or the breakthroughs, or get all excited and puffed up about it, but let us turn it right back and give you the glory so that all the world may know that there is a God in Israel. Lord, we want that today. That is our prayer. That is our hope. And we thank you, God, for the privilege of living out our lives as followers of you, Yeshua. We pray that we can give you glory in everything we do each and every day. So, Lord, strengthen us today. Build our faith today. Show us even small things and big things, Lord God, to build our faith and help us to always give you the glory. We thank you and praise you. B'Shem Yeshua, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's all stand together.